Let's go now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and read a pericope there, verses 21 to 28. Small portion of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning verse 21 and reading through verse 28. And this is the word of God, nothing like it in all the earth, the only word of God, truly the only word of God. And this, of course, is about Jesus, one of the wonderful things that he accomplished while he was here. Matthew 15, beginning verse 21. Hear now, ye people of God, his word. Then Jesus went thence, departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not suitable to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. May the Lord bless this portion of his word to us. Again, Heavenly Lord, thank you. We're thankful, so thankful. When you were here, you did so many amazing things. This is great among them. And it's a work that only you can do. That's why we believe in you. No such thing as a miracle except from God. We are praising you and thanking you. Bless our faith this evening. We ask in your name. Amen. Well, I don't think there is or are very many higher commendations than this he gives to this woman. In verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And that was a real, that was a startling commendation that he made. His disciples were saying, get her away, send her away, get rid of her. She's just annoying. She's just crying out, help me, help me, help me. And the Lord says, look, I didn't come to help you. I came for the children of Israel. Not you're Canaanite. You're not Israel. You're a dog. That's what he called her. A dog. And it wasn't the house pet. It was the dogs that were roaming out outside there, and they were eating everything that possibly was they could. They were packing together and attacking things, and they were loose, and they were. They were nasty dogs. They were wild animals. And as the people outside of Israel were called dogs and pigs. And pigs were forbidden to eat. They were a dirty, filthy animal. Still are. Actually, I hear that they're pretty clean if you let them be, but if they see a pile of mud, they're going to roll in it. Dogs will do the same thing. Dogs are pigs too. But point is that he called her a dog. And she came back. And she said, yes, true, I am. I'm outside of Israel. You didn't come for me. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Great is your faith, woman. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about great faith and the fruit of it. And it was revealed here in this pericope, this portion of Scripture with this woman. I want to talk about how to get a great faith. How does that happen? How do we become strong in faith? Because we can't, like her, go to Jesus and start begging and pleading at his feet. He's not here the same way. How do we do it? And then how do we keep it? In the third place, how do we keep this great faith? And then finally, how do we use it? Now, we can't do what this woman did. It was spectacular what happened. It was special. It's here to teach us something. And it's here to teach us, among many things, it's here to teach us about great faith. He says that she has great faith, greater faith I have not seen in all of Israel, among the people of God that should know better and do have faith. But this is great faith. This is strong faith. And what do we see here as a fruit of this faith, if you will, as some have said? Well, the first thing that hits me, that comes to mind, is that this woman was full of humility, the grace of the humility of grace and of repentance. She knew she was a dog. Figuratively speaking, of course. She knew she was an outcast from Israel. She realized that what Jesus was saying, he was the master. She understood the master was saying this. It's absolutely true. There's no question about it. I'm not debating. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to be insulted. It's true. I am. I'm an outcast. I don't deserve to talk to the master, to have the master talk to me and do me a favor. I don't have any right. None of us have a right, right? Correct? Who do we think we are? So the first fruit is humility. And this woman shows great humility when she's called the dog. In verse 20, he told her, it is not suitable to take the children's bread, the children of Israel, the bread of the word of God, the promises of God, and to cast it to dogs like you, who are outside the camp. You don't worship the God of Jehovah. You don't worship correctly. You don't do things right. You're not a woman of Israel. You're not a daughter of Zion. And she said, she responds, true, Lord. That is absolutely true. I don't know the proper worship. I don't know the living God, the God of Israel. I haven't been raised up to know him. But even the dogs eat crumbs from their master's table. Humanly speaking, that just moved the Lord. Oh, woman. Great is your faith. Why? Because of humility and repentance. She didn't get nasty back. She didn't say, how dare you? You know, like we would. Someone says to you or about your son or your, the dog. Huh? Because this is the master saying it. Maybe you would take it if Jesus said it. You certainly wouldn't take it if the pastor said it about your son or daughter. Right? Let's not make excuse for ourselves. We're all dogs and pigs and disgusting before God. No matter how young, no matter how old. For the holy God, the thrice holy God, we're all insignificant. So there's a first fruit that if you're going to have great faith, if you want to expose yourself as having great faith, you must be humble and you must have repentance. You must know that you don't deserve anything. You don't deserve to live and breathe. And I've learned in my old age, getting old there, to thank God every single morning. I just wake up and I thank Him. Thank you for watching over me through the evening. So anything can happen. I mean, not that I could do much to ward off any kind of major danger, but He watches over me. I'm sleeping, I'm unconscious, I'm not aware of everything that's going on, and I just close my eyes, and in the morning I wake, and I'm safe. Thank you, Lord. I didn't die in my sleep. I didn't, I wasn't attacked. The house wasn't attacked. Nothing happened. You know, some terrible weather, some storm happened. The roof caved in. No, anything can happen. It doesn't. And he's done that now for 69 years for me. It's about time I thank Him every single morning. The other thing about the great faith here that we see in this woman and that we must see in ourselves and in others in order to have it, and a strong faith, is that it perseveres. It resists that which is opposing it. Now, in this case, it was the disciples. They didn't mean anything evil by it, but they were treating her like she was some sort of, get out of here. Out of here, woman. She was some kind of dog. Shoot! Pick up a stick. Whatever. Faith stands in the way of opposition. It keeps on coming. Right? It exercises itself. And in our case, coming full circle here, and to our day, there's people that are going to resist us and going to oppose us and going to say, get out of my face, get out of here. Now, we're not to be in the face of people and want to fight them. No, that's not being obnoxious, to people and ask for them to hit us or to strike us or to curse at us or whatever. But we are not to back down from our faith, from holding out our faith. We are to be strong that way and not cower in the face of persecution. And so this fruit of this faith was coming out and revealing herself this way. And it's, of course, a fruit of the faith is to love. To love the Master, to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. She didn't curse or swear or reject the disciples. She kept on asking them, let me talk to the master. I want, please. Faith, strong faith, brothers and sisters, exercises itself in temperance and self-control. Doesn't respond in kind. Responds in love. It responds in a desire to glorify the Master, to glorify God, first and foremost, and to also help others. Manifestation of or the fruit of this great faith is worship. Right? When he finally allowed it, she dropped to her knees, she bows down, she worships the Lord. Great faith worships God. Worships him in the name of Jesus Christ. A strong faith desires worship so much that it will literally, as in this, crawl on its knees to worship rather than miss it. Literally, you were down on her knees, crawling on her knees, if you will, begging the Master, pleading with the Master, crying out, worshiping him. How do we get this great faith? How does this come? What do we do? Three things. Real quick. You know them. I've said it before. And I don't mind saying it again. You need to expose yourself to the Word. You know. There's all kinds of words out there every day, especially our young people are exposed to all kinds of words from all kinds of people in all kinds of places. But the words that really count the most in our lives, I'm not saying that we should ignore everyone and everything and not expose ourselves to anything and become hermits. You know that. That's sinful. But the most important thing is to expose ourselves to the Word, the Bible, the teaching of it, and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the full counsel of God. When you need to beg that the pastor will preach the full counsel and not hold back anything. And you know, I don't. Very rarely do I hold back. I do sometimes, but most of the time I don't. You don't want the preacher to hold back the truth from you. The Word of God. And even its application in your life, and especially in the lives of the people that you love, your own children and grandchildren. Why would you want that? So exposure, full exposure. Give it to me, Lord. Give it all to me, as much as I can take. And that's why I get perplexed at people that they don't want to come to every worship service they possibly can. They don't know what I'm going to say. They haven't studied the Word of God, even if they have studied this, like this particular passage and the word great faith. They may have come across it. They know, they've heard it before. They know what faith is and all that. They haven't heard all this stuff. And why would they miss it? Why would anyone want to miss that? Even to be reminded of what you already know. That's how we get great faith, strong faith, by exposing ourselves as much as possible to the best words of all, the words of Scripture, the words of the Master. The Word of God. And lay it on me. Call me a sinner. Call me a dog. Call me a pig. Whatever it takes, Lord, to get my attention and to listen and learn and the proper response. The other thing is, of course, and this I've mentioned this before, the sacraments. The sacraments are, you know, sort of pictures. They are sermons. You know, what was that song, A Sermon in Shoes? Well, they're sermons in symbols. The sacraments are sermons in symbols. And they help strengthen what the grace that they represent. It strengthens that in us as well. God uses the sacraments to strengthen our faith. Did you know that? It's a means of grace. He uses them as a means of grace. They don't become grace. Bread doesn't become grace, obviously. The wine doesn't become grace. But the Spirit is present. And if they're received in faith, the grace they represent is strengthened. That's how we get great faith too, strong faith, by exposing that. And the third thing, and this is this is something that you can do all the time, and that is prayer. This woman had the opportunity to speak face to face with the Master. We don't have that same opportunity, but we can speak and communicate with the Master all the time and talk to him and let our heart, pour out our heart. Remember, this is the thing about prayer that we need to remember at all times. Prayer, if we just do rote prayers that repeat over and over again, we say the same thing and we don't really, it's not from the heart, you know, they're not as effective, if at all effective, as those prayers that where you pour out your heart to God, which is what this woman did, right? She poured out her heart. She cried to him. So prayer is another way. And once we have this strong faith, how to keep it, right? How do I keep this strong faith? Well, one thing, what do you think after this woman, after Jesus responded to her in verse 28, he said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What do you think happened to her? You know what happened. She was just so thankful. Do you think she would ever, ever, ever forget it? No, she would never forget what the Lord, the Master, did for her, who she knew, I didn't deserve it. My daughter doesn't deserve it. I don't deserve your attention. I don't deserve you to look in my direction. But you did, and you healed my daughter. You think she would have been thankful about that? Of course she would have been thankful. You think she would have been thankful for the rest of her life and told everyone what the Lord did for her and for her daughter, and tell her daughter what the Lord did for her? And just the two of them and whomever else she told would be praising God and thanking God as well. Well, what are we to do when God has taken us from all the men and women on the earth and has brought us into His camp, into His kingdom? He revealed Himself to us. He saved us from dying an eternal death, a damnable death, hellfire and damnation forever and ever, to be with demons and devils and all kinds of wicked people and unbelievers and people that we hate and despise. Even the ungodly hate other ungodly people, like those crazed murderers that killed all those people in El Paso and in Ohio. They hate them. Even the ungodly, even the unbelieving hate these kind of people. Well, you're going to wind up with them. You're going to spend eternity in hell with them. God rescued you from that. Shouldn't you be thankful? Of course, you know that. Shouldn't you never forget what He did for you? And then also, He may have done it for your wife or your spouse, or He may have done it for your child or your grandchild or friend. I mean, He's done it again and again. He's done it for all these people that are here at Calvary Church, or hopefully all of them. He's done it for the young. Shouldn't we be thankful? and never forget it and be willing to tell everyone, like this woman was willing to tell everyone what the Lord, the Master, did for her, a sinner, a depraved, despicable sinner like her. So that's how we hold on to. And the other thing, as I mentioned already, is she told her daughter, she told everybody, she praised God. You know, we don't have it here in this context, but she did that. Of course she did. And we are to share with other people to help them become saved. And we are never to withdraw, brothers and sisters. Strong faith does not withdraw itself. It does not cower in the face of opposition. As I mentioned before, it strengthens itself. It has a purpose now. I mean, I look for a way in to witness to anyone that I feel is opposing Christ or opposing the gospel. Lord, give me, I pray as I talk and I walk, give me an opportunity to say something for you. Not to be an offense, not to be obnoxious, although I have been, and that's my sin, my fault, but to just give me the opportunity to say a word fitly spoken. The right word at the right time, in the right way for you. To help someone else. And you know, there's another thing about keeping faith strong. Do you think this woman had it easy? This woman's daughter was demon-possessed, and it was clear. They knew what it meant. And we do, too. It doesn't happen most of the time. It's not what you think. You know, well, these people thought that insanity, when insane people were demon-possessed. No. The scriptures describe what these demon-possessed people did. They were chained with chains all over their body, chained to tombstones. No man could break the chain. They broke the chains. They leapt among the tombstones, 30, 40, 50 feet in the air. It wasn't human. They were demon-possessed. It showed. The scriptures describe what these people were doing who were demon-possessed. They knew what it was, and there was a lot of that activity when Jesus came. She knew her daughter was demon-possessed. It wasn't just, you know, depressed or ADD or something like that. A little hyper. Oh no, not at all. The point is, this woman was not having it easy. Right? And that is a fault of... You see, we want it easy. That's our nature. In our nature. We want it pleasant. We want it easy. We want things to go smoothly. But there's a danger in that. It's like walking along a cliff and the wrong step and you're over. Easiness in your life. Easiness causes us to fall into the twin sins of materialism and covetousness. Greed. It's just our nature. Now, we don't purposely give me trouble, Lord. Give me, bring it on, Lord. I want it as hard as... No, we don't do that. But we have to be careful when it's easy. When things are going our way. When things are smooth. It's a trap. Faith that is strong and that is strengthening is a faith that goes through trial, like Job. It's tried. It's difficult. Think of the soul. We're in, this is the church, not triumphant, this is the church that is in battle. Battle formation, right? This is the warring church, the fighting church here on earth. We're not in the church triumphant yet, where everything is pleasure and ease and joy and working out, going our way. We think and it will happen in heaven. We don't have to strain or stress out. But here on earth, we do. And we're in battle mode. And think of the soldier. What does a soldier do? In order to do better in battle and to be stronger, he trains and he trains and he trains and he fights and he fights and he fights. And that's how he gets better. That's how he gets stronger. And that's how you develop your faith. By trial. It strengthens us. So we don't want to avoid being tried and tested. We want to face it. We don't ask for it. We don't say, Lord, bring it on. And, you know, I could tell, you know, that's pride, that's arrogance, that's nasty. But we know that trials strengthen our faith. And then when we have this strong faith, you know, the fruits of the faith are being manifested in our lives, and we have the strong faith, we expose ourselves to the Word, we have the sacraments, or partaking of the sacraments correctly, we pray and really communicate to the Lord our heart of hearts. And then we strengthen our faith daily, and we don't back down from the battle, doing the battle. We are always thankful to the Lord in every way and every day. What do we do with the faith? We use it. And look, there are two types of people concerning faith. There are the strong and there are the weak. In every church, in every place, there are the strong and there are the weak. We who are strong go out and help the weak. We don't avoid them. We don't walk past them. We don't ignore them. We don't talk about them. We don't condemn them or judge them or avoid them. Whatever you do. And we do that. And we shouldn't, but we do. But we help them. We who are strong want to help those who are weak. Think about what God did for us. We who are weak, He's helped so that we can be strong. And believe unto everlasting life. It's a great piece of scripture. It's great to learn. It's great to take in the words. Lord, I want you to say that about me. Man, you have great faith. Great is your faith. Go. Use it to help others. Spend your life using your faith to help others. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for this piece of truth, this scripture that you preserved here for us to read and to take seriously, to apply it to ourselves. That's what we want to hear from the Lord and Master. We don't deserve it, just like this one. We don't deserve anything from you. But to say, O woman, O man, great is thy faith. Come, enter into my joy forever and ever. That's what we want to hear, each and every one of us. Praise your holy name. Bless us on our way this evening. We ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's